This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
This is an encore broadcast of Free Fire Radio.
Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. It is the 18th of May.
Can you
Wednesday,
believe? And the rodeo kicks off tonight.
Extreme Bulls
yep.
and Barrels is
That's
going
right.
tonight. And it's going to be a great night.
And hey, we want to invite you, before you go into the weather, let's just make sure we invite everybody at 10 o'clock today. Oh, I thought it was just everybody who wants to say, oh, all right, go on with your spiel.
7:05 here.
Go ahead. Come on, let's do
it. 7:06 in the morning, and the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community encouraged. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Liam's at the helm this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're fine. And
welcome back.
Thank you.
Do you have a national day today?
I do. I have quite a few. National No Dirty Dishes Day.
Oh, good.
Those things love to pile up.
Okay.
Yeah, they like their friends, don't they?
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, they breed in the sink.
Yeah, they do.
You know, you turn the light off.
Yeah.
And
those
naughty one morning, like 2 o'clock in the morning, I went in there and flipped on the light, and you will not believe what the saucers were doing.
Yeah, I know.
It was
unbelievable.
In fact, I was going to report it.
Currently 71 degrees in the downtown studios. Looks like we're going to have, okay, are you guys ready for this? I'm not ready, but I want to know if you're ready. According to the National Weather Service, it's going to be 95 today. That's what I'm looking at. Okay, I'm going to look up my paper now because that's online, but 95. Mostly clear tonight with 62. That's a big jump there. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 85. Friday calls for sunny with a high of 83. And Saturday, sunny with a high of 91. And Sunday, 94. So we have clear skies and beautiful higher temperatures. Weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, located in Anderson, where they do honor senior and veterans by giving them discounts. And that is owned by the Kinney family. Wonderful Anderson Company, 365-3793.
Okay, there was a bank robbery. And I guess we have as a guest today a lady, Anne Marie Schubert, who's running for Attorney General. And I'm gonna quiz her on this. This is a problem we have in this town. I don't know why it hasn't reached the state level yet. Every year at about this time, it appears that two people right out of the hills come into any local bank they want to and rob it. And then the sheriff's posse, the Keystone posse, chases them around town shooting guns into the air. And yet they can never prevent this. So for everybody that's out there, today's clues are, Wednesday's clues, we've looked for the strangers. And for every dollar two, so possible identities, though still left without a clue. We've looked for the strangers, for every dollar two, sought possible identities, though still left without a clue. That's the lone strangers. Now, for where the loot is, remember, you can identify the strangers and get $400, or you can win $400 by finding the loot. Here's the loot clue. While the bandits may have stolen a fortune, the loot nearby it must be. Search from the lowest gorge you find to the highest mountaintop you can see. Nah, I don't believe that. Okay, let's do it again. While the bandits may have stolen a fortune, the loot nearby it must be. Search from the lowest gorge you find to the highest mountaintop you can see.
All right.
Okay, moving right
let's
on.
Let's get on with our...
Our guest today is Ann Marie Schubert, who is running for California Attorney General. And so tell us who...
Good morning. Ann,
good morning. Good morning.
Tell us, tell us who you are.
Tell us about yourself.
About yourself.
For our listeners.
So I've been... I'm the elected VA of Sacramento County.
Okay.
Don't hold it against me. It's a great job. My I've been in this profession for 31 years.
My old hometown, Sacramento.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I grew up there. I love it there. I've been a prosecutor 31 years, and I'm running for California Attorney General because we're in a state of chaos.
Yeah.
Pretty much how it is.
We are. So, and you've seen big changes in Sacramento.
It's been happening over the last several years. I'm sure you're... wonderful district attorney over here can and corroborate that,
right,
which
right.
is that we've seen a constant flurry of bills that are just weakening accountability. We've got elected officials that are, such as the district attorney of Los Angeles and San Francisco and our current appointed attorney general, they all come from the same kind of ideological background, which is very pro-criminal, and it's very much not about accountability. It's much more about letting people out of jail without really fully holding them accountable. So that, you know, I'm running because I'm a prosecutor, and I love the state, and I believe in accountability, and I'm good at what I do. And I'm not doing it for any other reason that I believe very strongly that everybody in the state is fed up with what's going on here.
Well, we were down in Sacramento when you had the shootout down there on K Street, and... I everything I read showed that your office was infuriated that you all had been pleading not to turn this guy loose, Smiley, or whatever his name is, the gang guy.
Yes.
One
so,
of the gang guys.
Yes. I mean, the things I can say about the case, because it's pending, is it was obviously a gang shooting. Every one of the people that we've charged with murder have also been charged with being felons in possession of firearms, meaning that they're... they've been convicted of felony crimes, and they still have weapons, or they're accused of still having weapons. My office and many other DA's offices for several years have been taking this position that you should not be letting some of these people out early. When Prop 57 passed in 2016, it changed basically our entire sentencing scheme, and it gave the prison system the almost complete unfettered power to change how much time somebody serves.
Do you think that proposition changed... because of the way that it was written, and many times when you go to the, when one goes to the voting booth, they don't really, people aren't really reading, like they'll flip. Yes means, you know, when you really get into the bill of what it, trying to pass it is completely opposite than the way it's written. Your mind is tricked into thinking that you're voting yes when you're really voting no, or the very opposite. Do you believe that the reason this was passed was because of the lack of the transparency or the clarity to the voters?
It's all about the ballot title summary. So the way those have been written for the last several years by the Attorney General has that job, and I've heard it countless times, particularly from law enforcement and the business community, that they have been deceived. The voters have been deceived. So Prop 47, which many folks know was the mechanism to reduce theft and drugs to basically decriminalizing, was written as a Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act, and it's really anything but. And Prop 57 was written in a way that said it'll allow early release for nonviolent felons. Okay, that sounds wonderful. But most of the world doesn't know that things like felony domestic violence, raping and drugging a woman or, you know, a person, human trafficking of a child, those are, quote, nonviolent. So that's why you're seeing very dangerous people coming out of the prison system, perhaps as little as 25% of their sentence, because of the way that these ballot initiatives were written. I mean, I'm sure Stephanie can and chime into that, because I'm sure she's done the same in terms of, you know, objecting to these things.
Look, we're going to take an early break because we come back because you were one of the first ones in the country to really get into the DNA and investigative genetic genealogy, which has solved countless crimes.
Right.
So I'd like to talk about how you got into that and how that has had an impact on fighting crime or putting people in jail.
Sure.
This portion of the show, gosh, honey, it's a Wednesday. And today, this portion of the show is brought to you by Avelo Airlines.
Oh, yeah, Avelo Airlines.
Oh, you can fly directly to
Las Vegas or Burbank. And we have friends that are flying regularly back and forth to Burbank who actually have homes in both places. And they've had great experiences. So Avelo Airlines, making it easier for you to be able to expand your life.
That's right. The flight currently flies on Fridays and Mondays, and this is to Las Vegas, for starting as low as $39 one way. It means you will have more money to spend in Vegas. Anne-Marie, what's your Vegas name? Okay, never mind. You must book direct at avelloair.com. We'll be right back.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's get rid of honey. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but it ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only buy the guy, can't buy the nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
Axiom Repertory Theater presents live on stage, Mel Brooks' madcap comedy, Young Frankenstein.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Young Frankenstein, May 6th through the 29th. Tickets at the box office on Bocelli Lane or online at axreptheater.com.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlus Tap House, of course. Charlus Pizza, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlus will not disappoint when you bite into the cheesy, creamy, meaty goodness of their hand-tossed crispy crust. It's an experience you won't find anywhere else in Reading. Pizza just brings people together for food and fun. Charlus Tap House also offers house specials, homemade pastas, sandwiches, soups, and delicious salads. Everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous house special every Friday. Friday and Saturday night. Tender, mouth-watering prime rib. Remember, Charlie's Tap House offers a wall of tap beer, your old favorite brews, and new additions on demand. It's the ultimate beer experience. Just grab your tap wall card at the counter and pour your favorite or try something new. Charlie's Tap House, rule number one, come from a homemade pizza. Stay for the beer wall. You'll find Charlie's Tap House in two locations, in the Anderson Outlets and in Reading, at the corner of Shasta and East Street. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, delivery, and catering. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is an encore broadcast of Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Today, the 18th of May at 7:20 in the morning, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at B&T Satellite, Reading's dish premier local retailer, providing our area with the best value, service, and technology and TV for over 30 years. That's right. Doug Tooley is our local dish guy. Don't call the 800 number. Call Doug at 241-3474. The guy's a absolute expert when it comes to making sure that your dish system is working and it's working well. He's got all types of special deals, but you have to give him a call at 241-3474 to find out what they are. And don't call the 800 number. Call our local guy here, and it's a veteran-owned business, B&T Satellite. Okay, we're here with Anne Marie Schubert, and she's here with she's running for California Attorney General. And one of the questions, or one of the things I saw, was how your office got involved with this DNA genealogy research, right, to solve crimes. Yeah. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So I did my first DNA trial in the mid-90s on a sexual assault case, and I realized, I mean, I'm dating myself here now, 27 years ago, but realized then it was the greatest tool ever given to find the truth no matter where it led us. So I've spent many years in a courtroom doing those types of cases, and I started our cold case unit back about 20 years ago in Sacramento because I knew the value of the technology. And then as the science has evolved over time, we now have this new incredible tool called genetic genealogy, which was what was used on the Golden State Killer. It was used on, I think we've solved, right after the Golden State Killer in Sacramento, we solved what's called the NorCal rapist, which was a guy that raped over 15 years, including all the way up to Chico in the Bay Area, Sacramento. We solved another case involving two sexual assaults. We've solved murders. So it's become an extraordinary tool across this country. It's amazing. We've also exonerated a guy that did not commit a crime in another county. He always professed his innocence, and we use the same tool to actually identify.
Well, it can work. It can cut both ways.
Absolutely, and sure. That's the kind of the beauty of this technology. It's just the beauty of DNA. It doesn't have the capacity to lie. It is what it is. So I love it. I sometimes say if I was going to quit my day job, I'd do this all the time because I believe very strongly that, you know, these cases deserve every look you can find. Not every case is going to get solved, but we owe it to the crime victims and their families to do everything we can.
Now, something called familial DNA, right, which is solved in cases. Can you tell people what that is?
Sure. So in California, we have what's called a convicted offender database, meaning that people that are arrested for felonies or convicted of felonies and certain misdemeanors have to give their DNA. And that's what, so when they give their DNA, it goes into a big computer system. When the law enforcement, let's say Stephanie has a bank robbery here. Some guys come out of the hills and commit a bank robbery and they leave their masks behind. And she takes that evidence and sends it to the crime lab, and then she gets the profile of the bad guy, the DNA profile. That goes into a computer system, and it's basically searching to compare it to convicted felons. Familial searching looks at that convicted offender database and is looking for a potential relative of those convicted offenders. It's a good tool, but it's limited to the people that are in that computer system. What's different about genealogy is that you're going out into these public genealogy sites, which have millions of people, and you're looking at millions of psyched on the genome, basically. So, like, in our world of forensics, we do, when we look at somebody's DNA, you might be looking at 25 places on the DNA marker. In the world of genealogy, you're looking at 700,000 to a million points of comparison. That's why the data is so much bigger and the ability to solve crime is so much greater.
Now, are you talking about, like, people that get their, they want to trace their family tree?
Yes.
Do y'all have access to that?
Law enforcement has the same rights anybody else does. I mean, that's the reality. There's certain ones that we use that are law enforcement, you know, friendly, I guess you can say. So it's a tremendous tool. The misnomer that folks are worried about is, oh my God, cops are going to get their hands on my DNA and they're going to find. They don't get their hands on anybody's DNA. They are given the same information. If you wanted to go find out if you had a relative,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be given your relative's DNA. What you're going to be given is maybe some emails to say, hey, you might be related to Mary Smith. That's what you're going to be given. And then that's where the science and law enforcement comes together because you have to build those family trees.
Because if I want to find out what, you know, who our ancestors are,
right.
we send in our swab or Correct. Whatever it is, our spit, and then they come back and they say, according to your DNA and what's in our databases, we can track you back to here,
right.
and these are people that may be your relative.
Correct.
So you do the same thing.
It's the same
thing. And they send back to you the same information.
Same information that anybody else gets. And I mean, what gets interesting on some of these cases, I think, is just like there's some family secrets out there sometimes. So, you know, when they're trying to build family trees, the law enforcement folks, sometimes you have to deal with affairs or adoptions. And that kind of can be a head stumper for investigators, but that's where.
Well, this is what I have found from people we know is all of a sudden there's a half sister or half brother, it's in their family and they did not know.
Didn't know and maybe don't want to know and.
Well, no, they just didn't know. I mean, I had an ex-wife got a phone call one day from her sister said, "Sit down, we have a half brother." And they had no idea
mm-hmm.
that was, you know, that they had a half-brother.
But that's happening everywhere.
But it turned out good, but I can imagine. Right. But what you're doing, you're just asking for the same information. You're not
saying
we want special information.
Don't get anything special.
Now, there was a court case, I think, about that. I think from Florida or someplace. It said, I'm not sure. But they didn't, you know, people were getting a little bit excited that the law enforcement could go into the, you know, these DNA repositories. But I think that was obviously handled.
It was handled. I think the thing that's important for folks to understand is that we're not doing it on every case you can find. If somebody breaks into my car outside this building and leaves their DNA behind, we're not doing it on those types of cases. It's really for the most violent crimes. So the ones we've done in Sacramento are murders and rapes. And mm-hmm. you've pretty much exhausted all other leads. So you're balancing that privacy interest of people's concerns against public safety. So it's a pretty cool
tool. Do you have
cool
access
tool.
To the military databases?
No.
Or to the federals? You don't have that.
Not the military databases. You have access to what's called NDIS, which stands for the National DNA Index System, which is the national repository for all convicted felons.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have DNA left behind, we can compare. Maybe it's a guy in Illinois that committed the crime. But no, we don't have. There's certain ones we don't have access to.
Okay, because the military, you know, they have our DNA
right.
for obvious reasons.
Right.
Sometimes that's the only way we have left to identify
Correct.
Somebody. So you got into this, gosh, how long ago? 20?
90s, mid-90s.
Mid-90s, because you saw this as a valuable tool to
I
put people
case.
In jail that needed to be there.
I had a case, a sexual assault case, of a teenage girl who was kidnapped and sexually assaulted, and it was the first DNA case that I had done. It was probably around 1995, and that's when I realized the value of the tool. I don't profess to be this brainiac scientist type of person, but I learned a lot about it. And then from that point forward, I started to do a lot of DNA cases. And then I realized in 2017, when we were trying to solve the Golden State Killer, that's when somebody said, hey, this is a Paul Holes, who was an investigator, said, we should try this. And I'm like, yeah, we should try this. And it worked.
Who did it link to? Did it link to that person directly or to somebody
it was
else?
It was the same as any other case. It gives you potential relatives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go into the specifics just because there is privacy issues. But
right.
basically, you know, they had to build family trees. But, you know, the case was 40-plus years old, and it was ultimately solved in a matter of a couple months because of this tool.
Wow. Okay.
It's really amazing.
Of course, it doesn't happen overnight or during the one-hour show, right?
It doesn't.
Like CSI?
No.
I mean,
I wish it did, but it doesn't.
Okay. Hey, we've got to take a quick break here. We're with Ann Marie Schubert, who is running for California Attorney General. And we're talking about her experience with her 31 years of law enforcement experience and being in the DA's office down there for, was it 31 years? Or
31 years.
31
well,
years
31 ago. Total.
And then, but she's been the DA in
Sacramento.
I knew that. Give me,
oh, sorry.
Give me a chance here. In Sacramento for what, since 2015?
Correct.
Okay. This
Fantastic.
Portion of the show is being brought to you by
Cornerstone Community Bank. Of course, they have many locations. Riverside, the newest one in Anderson, that is fantastic. They have helped us through the whole COVID crisis, the PPP loans. They are definitely one of the most outstanding community banks. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back after these messages with Carl and Linda Bott. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Your talk radio, also online at KCNR1460.com. We'll see you after the break. North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Ah, this is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it.
Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
This is an encore broadcast of Free Fire Radio.
Just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. We're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM. Plus other times we just, you know, fall in here. First Thursday of each month, Linda's here for North State Now. And I'm on the fourth Thursday of every month with Ted Leidy. So that'll be, I think, that's like next week. Maybe. I'm not sure. For Man Up.
There you go.
There you go. Hey, this portion of the show, speaking of manning up, is brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. This guy will fix your windshield, whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length. Jeff Wurst can do that. It's a veteran-owned business. He doesn't take chances with your safety. He'll fix your windshield, and then he guarantees it for life. Bring your vehicle down for a free inspection and analysis to 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff a call at 241-8373. Or if you're in Verizon, it's 530. You have to dial the 530s now. 530-241-8373 for an appointment today. Hey, we're here with Anne-Marie Schubert, who is the Sacramento DA and has been doing this for a couple of decades and has been the DA down in Sacramento since 2015. We've been talking about her work, and it was kind of groundbreaking in California when it came to DNA and running criminals down like that, and they've solved a number of crimes because of that, cold cases. You're running as an independent.
Yes, sir.
You didn't run as an independent before.
The job of the DA is nonpartisan.
Right.
So when you run for election, if it's here or anywhere else, it's not going to put your party affiliation. So my little story is I registered as a Republican as a kid. I'm a good citizen. I'm not a political person, really. I don't get politics into this job at all. I believe very strongly in public safety. It's not, public safety is not about which team you're on, blue team, red team, whatever it is. It's about everybody getting the same treatment and everybody wants to feel safe. But what happened in 2018 was when I ran again for DA, it became highly politicized. It was really kind of grotesque. And people that were supporting me on both sides of the political aisle were, you know, screamed at, punished, bullied because, oh, my goodness, Anne-Marie Schubert's a Republican. And so I had friends that, I just decided that this job is nonpartisan. That's the way it should be. So 4 years ago, I just said I'm going to become an independent because I think that's what people deserve. And I think the same is true with the Attorney General. If you look at what's going on in this state, that job has been so politicized. If you're watching what's going on in Los Angeles and San Francisco, the current appointed Attorney General is the same ideology. It's telling you the justice system basically from within.
Well, how does that work for you? I mean, if you're Republican or a Democrat, and I mean, they get money just based on an R or a D. That's kind of a big step out there.
I'm okay with that step. Here's the thing. I am the choice of law enforcement across California. I have the tremendous support of police officers, 90,000 plus, district attorneys, including this wonderful district attorney here in Shasta, Stephanie Bridget, 40 plus DAs, law enforcement, elected officials. I've raised the most amount of money independent of the current appointed AG, who's just going to get a boatload of money because of, the party and who he is. But for me, I am relentless, and so I have support from all sides of the aisle. They don't want me in the race, that's for sure. They're trying to kick me out of the primary because they know Schubert's the one that can beat him.
Okay, now, Anne-Marie.
Yes.
You win.
Yes.
What's your first 6 months going to look like?
The first 6 months are going to look like, let's work with law enforcement, let's take care of this violent crime problem. Let's take care of all the massive number of guns in the hands of felons. We have so many guns in the hands of convicted criminals. And what I've learned over time is, I think everybody agrees, except for the criminals, that felons should not have guns. Assault weapons, firearms, modified guns, ghost guns. We've got a fentanyl crisis. So for me, the first 6 months are going to be working with law enforcement, making sure they have the resources to go out and tackle the drivers of violent crime, get those guns out of the hands of felons. There's a lot to this. Homelessness is a major issue, which I intend to step into and help address issue.
Do I have to worry about the Attorney General of California coming after my guns?
If you're a convicted felon and you're running around with a gun, yeah, you'd have to worry. But if you're just a law-abiding person that's just, you have a right to have a handgun, I believe, in the Second Amendment. So
I just wanted people to hear that from your lips.
Sure.
When you say you're going after guns, it is strictly for those felons.
Absolutely.
You're going after the gangs.
I'm interested in the people that are committing the violent crime. So we have, it's not a secret what happened in Sacramento with this gang shooting. But we've got a major problem with felons. I'm not talking about you or law-abiding citizens. I'm talking about the people that are wreaking the most havoc on our citizens across California.
And how do you do that?
You fund law enforcement. You give the resources that they need.
Yeah. Do they get their guns mainly from theft?
Are they getting
straw purchases? Are they getting them from stolen from out of state, across the border?
A combination of all of them. There's ghost guns out there. They're making them. Stolen guns is a big problem. They're going in and they're committing burglaries and they're taking them and all those kinds of things. So it's a combination. We have the most restrictive gun laws in the state of California. We don't have a gun control issue. We have a crime control issue. That's what we have.
That was good. I like that.
It's true.
We have now the DAs in LA and San Francisco, their own DAs just like working for them.
I think pretty much, yes.
I mean, it was like 90-something% said
it's miserable.
It said, yeah, that they were miserable down in LA.
There's a recall going on both of them, and there's a reason, and that's because the citizens of those communities have realized they are trying to dismantle. They're not about public safety. They're about being pro-criminal, letting people out.
What's your stance on defund the police, which seems to be running rampant?
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's nobody in their right mind thinks that that is the solution to public safety.
How do you, when you say you want to go after the felons with guns, which everybody wants,
right,
and doesn't seem to be happening, how do you do that? What's that look like?
You establish task forces and you work with law enforcement across California. We know, in law enforcement, you've got people that, small percentage that commit the most crime. They're either on probation, they're on parole, they got convicted, felons. So what you do is you work with your law enforcement and you start, identifying those people that are committing the most amount of crime. Sadly, we've got a lot of tsunami of policies that are allowing these people to stay out. Early releases, zero bail. So we've got to get to those folks that are committing the most crime, because you've got to send a powerful message. We're not going to tolerate this. People deserve, you shouldn't be walking in a nice downtown area and be worried that somebody's going to pull out a gun and start firing off rounds.
Yeah. Giuliani in New York did this,
sweep.
Well, it was a sweep, but it was anything. And he said anything in Times Square. It was so horrible there. And so it's a broken window theory, that if there's a broken window and you don't do anything about it, pretty soon there'll be a lot of them. He had his people stop and search everybody. And it cut the crime in New York tremendously. Is that something that we're going to be seeing in that the AG would do, to really start cracking down from small, start there when it's small before it gets big?
Or
is it too late for that?
No, I wouldn't say it's too late. I think it's, we obviously have to protect people's constitutional rights and they have Fourth Amendment rights and all those things.
Sure.
But law enforcement needs the tools. And what's happened over time, you've got some jurisdictions where they don't even want cops to do traffic violations.
Yeah.
I'm like, what in the world? What do you mean? And that's the concept. If you just start saying, well, we're not going to hold you accountable for things, why do we see so much crime in some of these urban cities? Well, in Los Angeles and San Francisco, I'm not going to say that we don't have violent crime in Sacramento. Of course we do. The question is how do you deal with it? Are you going to send a message? I don't have people toasting me in prison that I'm the DA. I don't have people wanting to put a tattoo of my name on their head because they're proud of the DA.
Is this happening?
In L.A., yes, that's what's happening. And we've got a guy, there was a video that came out of a guy in prison for murder out of L.A. that's toasting Gascon, saying he's going to get out of prison. Another guy says, I think I'm going to put a tattoo of his name on my head.
That guy you're talking about is the one that was molested that girl or raped that girl, and he was like 17, getting ready to go to 18 in Gascon, refused to try him as correct. An adult. He gets out, and I just see now they Charlie, just arrested right. him again for murder.
Right, that's in Kern County.
Gosh, right. I mean, there's something wrong. When did the clown start running the circus? You know, I mean.
I think there's been a movement to try to take out real prosecutors, and it's been happening in Sacramento for probably about, in California. They tried to take me out in 2018, the same kind of group, one-handedly. They tried to take out the Alameda DA. They tried to take out the San Diego DA. They want to dismantle the system from within, and if you put people in, like Gascon and Bodine and San Francisco, look what's going on. People are rising up and saying, we're not going to tolerate this, and we're going to recall you.
Got to take a quick break here. We are right with fantastic guests with us this morning. This is KCNR. This portion of the show is brought to you by State Granite. Mike Hoover, doing great jobs, creating great kitchens, anything that has to do with stone. A designer. Why am I having tongue-tied here for a minute? All right. So 241 Stone, we'll be right back.
It looks like spring, the time of year for dust, pollen, busy birds, and bugs. The time to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9, or buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free, or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Quick and Clean Car Wash is fast and convenient at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
The pandemic has taken a toll on our country.
The Dow plunging hundreds of points, its worst showing of the year.
A shaky economy, financial strain, all made worse by politicians trying to take advantage.
California, New York, a lot of the blue states where businesses are really struggling to find people. And so what can they do?
Homelessness, rising crime, constitutional rights infringed upon by shutting down schools, churches, and small businesses.
There's a lot going on in the economy. There's a lot of uncertainty at the kitchen table.
Now is the time to stand up for community. Now is the time to move people forward.
I'm Kevin Cry. I'm not a politician. I'm a lifelong Shasta resident, and I don't recognize what our community has become. I'm running to lead with backbone. I'll prioritize public safety and make our community more affordable.
Our local leaders have let us down. We can do better.
Let's bring the North State back.
Paid for by committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our summer sessions offer flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings. Plan a cool summer of hot classes by enrolling at Shasta College today. Summer session classes begin June 13th. Achieve more, earn more at ShastaCollege.edu. Enroll online today.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
This is an encore broadcast of Free Fire Radio.
Serves 100 ships a day.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl Lindebaugh, 7:52 in the morning here on the 18th of May. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. And yes, I am going down there. It's no surprise. Linda's birthday is coming up Saturday. And I have a little list of things that I could choose down there. Very reasonably priced, because they have great prices on a super selection of a fantastic selection of jewelry down there. It's the only full service jewelry store in Reading. It's Four Winds Jewelry. It's open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. It's located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. Great people there. We're here with Anne Marie Schubert, who is running for the State of California District Attorney. She's been in law enforcement for 31 years. And has been the DA down in Sacramento since 2015. She's talked about why she is running as an independent. She believes that the prosecution of crime should not be a Republican or Democrat type of thing. It should be a non-biased, I'm going after anybody. I don't care what your party is.
That's right.
It's if you're a criminal, you need to go to jail. She talked about one of her main pushes is going to be is to get the guns out of felons' hands.
Correct.
Not my hands. Not if you're a legal law-abiding citizen. She's not coming after our guns. It's if you, but if you're a felon, you're gonna put together a task force, is what you said, to go after them.
Well, okay. I just have a question. Like, for instance, we talked about the shooting that happened down on K Street, and I was down there seeing theater with my mom, and we got in to see Wicked. And that day, it was a matinee, and the guy next to us said, "Did you hear about the shooting? It happened at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we were at 2 o'clock in the afternoon matinee." We're like, "What?" And so when we drove out from the theater, we went down and we saw the crime scene. So my question is, you know, there's always going to be a black market. You can try to do legal marijuana, illegal marijuana grow, whatever it is. Guns are getting in the hands of criminals. There's always going to be underground, the underbelly. There always will be criminals, and when there's a will, there's a way to get your hands on whatever you're going to get your hands on. So we can talk about gun control. We could talk about the Second Amendment. We could talk about all those things all we want. Really when it comes down to it is when people are convicted and they come in, they're let out. And we're in this vicious circle and cycle. So what can be done? Say you win. Now you're district attorney again.
Attorney general.
Attorney, excuse me. Yeah, attorney. So what do you see doing in your first 30 days?
Well, what I talked about to Carl was about, you know, let's go after some of these drivers of violent crime. We've got to get control. 30 days is a short little window.
I know, but I mean,
to send a powerful message. Listen,
yes.
This is the DA that's coming in that's been a prosecutor for 31 years. You know, it's time for us to take back California in terms of giving people the safety and security that they want. So there's a lot of things to the AG, but, you know, it's not just helping law enforcement with the resources and all those things. It's being in the legislature. There's a reason why. It's also taking on, you know, the prison system. We're suing. 45 DAs across California are suing the prison system because they're dumping people out of prison and they're adopting what we call regulations, allowing upwards of 76,000 inmates out of prison after serving potentially only a third of their sentence, and even less. These are people. People at this point go to prison because they don't stop committing crime or they've committed something so horrific that they deserve to go. So we've got to recognize that when we start letting people out early at a fraction of their sentence, that's not rehabilitation. When you just hand out credits, as I say, like Halloween candy and turbocharge their releases, that's going to be less and less time for them to get fixed, basically. That's dangerous for that person. It's dangerous for the community. It's not victims' rights. What happened to victims' rights anywhere
right,
in this conversation?
Right.
Okay, 2 minutes here. A couple of questions. Yes. One, sex trafficking in California. It seems to have exploded also.
It's everywhere, but it's also the other problem with sex trafficking is our legislature continues to refuse to call it a violent crime. That's another reason why we've got to take on these particular crimes that are considered nonviolent.
Okay, illegal marijuana. It's taken over Siskiyou County.
Yes, it has.
It's really jumping up out here. What can the Attorney General do about
that? The Attorney General has a whole division of law enforcement that can start going after the illegal growers. That's what you need to do. You need to send, I mean, listen, these illegal growers are the ones that have guns. They're ruining our waterways. They're coming in and damaging the environment. And it's also damaging the legitimate business. So you've got to send, again, that powerful message and start going after those illegal grows.
Okay, we got a caller.
Quick call.
Yeah, Robert, quickly, a question.
Okay. Ms. Schubert, congrats and good luck in the election. And I was wondering if, in all that stuff, would you be hoping to bring back the felony murder rule? Because, quite frankly, I think that was one of the dumbest things California ever did by getting rid of it. Because that way the three dead people involved in that thing would also be getting charged. Or the three guys that you're after, the three dead guys would also be on the docket when they make it to court.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I can't talk specifically about that case, but the felony murder rule is a theory, what we call a theory of liability, that has been restricted in California, and there's been an effort across this country to restrict it. I think it's going to be a challenge to bring it back, just because of the makeup of our legislature. I was involved in some of that when they were going through the legislature trying to narrow what they wanted to do. I think it's going to be difficult, and that's my honest answer.
Okay, last minute.
Yes.
Tell us why people should vote for you.
I'm the real deal. All I've ever done. People want to learn about me, go to my website, AnneMarieForAG.com, and understand why law enforcement and prosecutors like this wonderful DA here in Shasta are behind me. And get out and vote. And if you want to change the direction of what's going on here and you feel like we need something new and somebody that actually knows what they're doing, I'm the person for you.
Okay, there's going to be a precedent today. Today at noon at C.R. Gibbs, when there's a number of people from up here in Northern California, including McGregor Scott, who is very well known, are going to give you a vote of confidence, it appears.
I've known them all for a long time, so I'm very grateful for their support.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you're probably pretty busy, and good luck out there.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Happy birthday.
Okay. We have the sheriff scheduled. I don't know if he'll be here because there's a lot of stuff going on. I haven't heard anything, so hopefully we'll be right back after the news.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
The world is full of obvious things which nobody by any chance ever observes. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Before we get started on today's episode, we want your questions. Every December, we talk about specific questions that we receive from you so we can answer them and make sure that we're addressing your specific needs. So if you have a question, contact us, let us know what it is, so we can answer it for you.
There are a couple ways to do that. You can either find us on Facebook, send us a message that way, or, of course, the email address at the end of this episode is a great way to contact not only your questions, but episode ideas and commentary about how fantastic my voice is.
So let's get into today's episode. What's the topic?
We are talking about using your senses, not just what I see or what I hear, but what I'm tasting, what I'm smelling. This is a common bit of advice you hear from third grade teachers. Make sure you include all five senses in the scene.
The reason why senses are so important is that it immerses the reader into the moment with something that they can connect with that otherwise they wouldn't understand. While most of your readers may not know what, say, a homeless person who lives on the streets most of the time and never gets a shower smells like, you do know what a boy's gym locker room smells like after a day of football practice. These are small little details that you can connect the dots to give them an idea of the senses of what they're seeing, hearing, tasting, because readers want to be in the moment. They want to be in the world, and the senses is how you do that.
Not necessarily strictly smells, although that is a great one to give an idea of environment. But if your character can taste the rain in the air before the storm, that's something your readers can relate to.
So we mentioned earlier the five senses. We're aware that that's probably what you've been taught. That's what we were taught. That's what we were familiar with. But there are so many more senses than just five.
In this particular case, we're talking about ways that we interact with the world, ways that the world gives our brains information. Not necessarily seeing dead people like the sixth sense or an emotional IQ, these other things that are part of the human experience, but literally how you get information from the world.
Physical interactions. The most common that you're going to be using in a book is vision, what they're seeing.
And this tends to be the default for a lot of storytellers because a lot of storytellers also watch TV, also go to the movie theaters. You see and you hear a lot of things in cinema, and therefore when you're seeing the story play out in your head, it's sight and sound based often.
So that's the second sense, is the hearing. Your third is smell. This can be so important because people remember smells really well. There are actually studies linking smell with memory. So if you can introduce them to a smell that they are familiar with, you are connecting them with a story on a new level.
Smell is closely intertwined with taste. They're right next to each other on the face, yes, but a lot of the words you're going to use are very similar. That saltiness, that nuttiness. Talk about tea tasting or wine tasting. They will say a perfuminess to the flavor, the bouquet of the wine.
Speaking as someone who has a lot of allergies that affect my sinuses, your smell affects your taste. If I can't smell anything, I really can't taste much. It has to be a very strong flavor for me to taste it.
This particular list has 9 different kinds. We got that list from TalkingMatters.com. And what we in kindergarten learned as touch is not only texture, something is soft or silky, but also temperature, something is hot or cold, but also pain.
Which also goes with hot and cold because a lot of pain is associated either with hot or with cold.
Those are all kind of in the touch category, but I wanted to make sure we talked about each of these separately because there are different ways for your character to interpret their environment. It is not only cold, but it is sharp.
You can also have balance as one of the senses. This is really important for characters who, I don't know, maybe are drunk, maybe got drugged, who are usually very graceful and suddenly find themselves tipping and unable to stand up straight.
Also, if your character has motion sickness or, you know, is on a pirate ship, that sense of balance, especially if it's their first time, takes a little while to get your sea legs.
And then the flip side, get used to land after having sea legs.
And the last sense we're going to talk about kind of goes with balance, and that is proprioception, which is more or less your coordination, your hand-eye coordination.
It's awareness of your body, where it is in relation to things around you.
So I just wrote a scene where a character had a dagger pointed at her kidney. She could guess by his voice how far away his head was, therefore how long the weapon was. So without even looking, she knew where his wrist was, where his elbow, his shoulder. So she could disarm him without looking. That's a great proprioceptive ability and awareness of not only her body, but others around her.
So I want you, our listeners, to think about your main character. What is your main character sensing that you aren't writing into the story? What can you add that will add to the story?
One of the ways that I have dabbled with this in the past is by creating a character who is missing one of these. I have created blind characters just to see if I could get the reader to envision the scene without any sight-based elements around them.
So while you're thinking about your character, what they can use, what may help to remove from them, we want you to follow one rule. Do not use all of the senses at the same time.
Think about your human experience. How often are you aware of all five senses at once, or all nine senses at once?
Most of these are instinctual. Your proprioception especially, your balance, these are instinct. And the only time you notice it is if something is wrong.
And if your character isn't noticing it, then really your reader probably shouldn't be either. That especially is the case for deep POV writers. So somebody who's writing kind of like for first or third person from the character's point of view. If you're writing from an omniscient point of view, it's a little more fluid because you want the reader to be another observer in the story instead of feel like a main character.
So what are the senses good for in writing? What are they used for other than just to give a reader a way to connect?
Understanding these senses and how your character reacts to these senses informs us about the character. Is that smell of chewing gum saccharine, that sickly sweet? Or is it nostalgic? Both of those are very different from each other, but they inform about the character who's interpreting that smell.
It can also be used to set a scene. So you have your character noticing the weather, noticing whether it's light or dark outside, noticing what they can see and hear. When you dig deeper into the other senses, then we really get a feel of that scene.
If your character is stepping into an abandoned house for the first time, that musty smell that's a little bit moist, a little bit almost sweet, a little bit nutty.
Very stale.
I don't have to visually describe the corners of the room to give you an idea of being there, what it's like. If you are setting a scene, you are in cinema, it's called a wide shot. If you are establishing everything that's happening in the moment, using your five senses more than just sight is incredibly helpful.
But again, be careful about using all of them at the same time. Go piece by piece. What do they notice first? What would your character notice first? Would it be the smells? Would it be the sights? And then as you get into the scene, separate it a little bit, get into those further details with the other senses.
And of course, just like those undefinable emotions that we spoke about a week ago, all of those undefinable scents and flavors, similes and metaphors are your friend. She smelled like a warm summer's day. I don't really know what a warm summer's day smells like, but there's an emotion and attachment to that particular scent.
The biggest takeaway from today's episode is consider more. What else does your character experience that will help the reader connect with that character? That is the trick of the trade, getting your readers to connect.
This is really the advantage of a text-based entertainment format, of reading a story versus watching it on TV. You can bring your readers to that moment with all of these other senses. And all of that starts with
writing selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
The pandemic has taken a toll on our country.
The Dow plunging hundreds of points, its worst showing of the year.
A shaky economy, financial strain, all made worse by politicians trying to take advantage.
California, New York, a lot of the blue states where businesses are really struggling to find people. And so what can they do?
Homelessness, rising crime, constitutional rights infringed upon by shutting down schools, churches, and small businesses.
There's a lot going on in the economy. There's a lot of uncertainty at the kitchen table.
Now is the time to stand up for community. Now is the time to move people forward.
I'm Kevin Cry. I'm not a politician. I'm a lifelong Shasta resident, and I don't recognize what our community has become. I'm running to lead with backbone. I'll prioritize public safety and make our community more affordable.
Our local leaders have let us down. We can do better.
Let's bring the North State back.
Paid for by committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
This is an encore broadcast of Free Fire Radio.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Okay, good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on Wednesday, the 18th of May, 2022. 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Liam's at the helm here today being trained by Jared.
Yes, I am.
Who's looking very dapper today. Did I tell you, Jared, do you have another set of earphones in there? No, you don't. Anyway, I told him yesterday, we're watching this series, and it's called The Lincoln Lawyer. And the one guy in this reminds me of Jared when Jared had his hair long. You know, it was kind of a laid-back kind of guy. You know, just kind of, people will say something to him, and he sits there, and he kind of looks at him. Okay. That kind of thing. It's cool. Anyway, Liam, good morning. And you gave us one National Day, no Dirty Dishes National Day. What's the next one?
Let me pull it up real quick. Give me just a second.
Hey, I'm going to hit you every time with that.
Alrighty, I got you.
Well, we do have Hump Day.
It is Hump Day,
and it's National
it's Rodeo Day.
Dirty Dishes.
No Dirty Dishes.
You know, what is it about... You know, I guess the question would be, how many times do you run your dishwasher per week for two people? Well, do you wash your dishes by hand? Do you stack your dishwasher completely?
And wait?
And then wait for two or three days while your dish, especially in the summer months, it gets stinky.
Well, let me tell you. Do the weather first, and I've done a study on this. So, what's the weather look like for this weekend?
All right, it's going to be 95
tonight,
today.
By the way, rodeo starts tonight, my friends.
That's right. Going to be 95 degrees today, overnight lows of 62. Thursday calls for highs of 85 with Thursday night mostly clear of 54. Friday calls for sunny with a high of 83. Saturday, 91. And Sunday, 94. So we're going to be going through the rodeo week with those warmer days, but the nights are going to be in the 50s. Saturday night's going to be, the low will be 61, and the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated with veteran and discounts for seniors as well. 365-3793. What you got going there? Did we find our day?
We did find our day.
Okay.
It is also National, now I don't know if I'm going to say this right, National Cheese Soufflé Day. I don't know if souffle.
No, souffle is
souffle.
Souffle. Well, yeah. Okay. First of all, we have to remind everybody. Liam's 18.
I'm 18.
And you know what? 18-year-olds, when he looks at it, he goes souffle. Souffle is a breakfast dish, and it's made with eggs and cheese, and it's fluffy.
Yeah, but you go, sometimes when you go to dinner, it could be other things. There would be some restaurants that you go to and say, are you going to order the chocolate souffle? So it comes in a round dish and it takes a while for it to bake, like 45 minutes or an hour, so you can't just order it would you like the souffle at the end? So that just is a, well, one of the particular restaurants I used to go to frequently, that was their specialty. So if you want the chocolate souffle, you have to end. So it's very, it's French. You can look it up, but it puffs up and it is a, like you said, Carl, you can call it breakfast, but it really can be a fabulous, light and wonderful dessert. Souffle.
Souffle.
S-L-U-F-L.
No. No. No.
How do you spell
it? Don't start. Linda. It's S-L. Okay, I don't know how to spell it, but I think it's S-L-U.
All right, tell us.
How do you spell it?
S-O-U-F-L-E.
With
F-F-L-E.
F-F. Oh! And a L-E on the end.
Our guest,
don't stop my flow, bro.
Our guest was going to be Sheriff Mike Johnson, and he's not here. I'm, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the county. I'm sure that he's hung up someplace on this. Usually he gives a phone call. But dishwashing. Let's go back to dishwashing. It used to be it was you could save water and energy costs by doing your dishes in the sink with less water, less power. Than the dishwasher. Well, the new dishwashers, though, are so efficient. Not necessarily ours.
Right.
Because we're not even sure how this thing still works. And it will, you know, it'll save more money. Now, one of the things, too, though, is a lot of times what people will do is they'll rinse their dishes and, you know, like, and brush them off and all that before you put them into the dishwasher. Well, really, according to the dishwasher guy, and you shouldn't have to do that. You should just be able to put them in there.
That's not true.
It's not true. I mean, you know, especially if it's set in the sink for a half a day.
Not
true. Try to get ketchup off of, you know, you can put it into a dishwasher. I don't care which dishwasher it is. It is still there when it comes out. So when I was single.
Now, maybe people have
when I was single, I had, I would do my dishes.
By hand?
It was like one dish.
Yeah.
I saw a movie the other night, The Accountant, and he had in his cupboards one plate, a spoon, a knife, and a fork, a cup, and a glass. That was it.
Well,
and that was pretty much what I had.
Yeah,
so
simple.
It was pretty easy keeping it. When I was living on a boat, I could get that all stuff cleaned out. And you know, I don't know how you and I, just two people, accumulate so many dishes in one day, frankly. I mean, I don't, how does that happen? I mean, have you ever thought about that? How, you know what? I've seen families of six that use dishes, less dishes than you
know.
And I do.
I don't know. I feel, you know, I've got to try to figure that out. And I know I'm going to have this conversation. We'll have this conversation with people that have heard the show. And say, okay, and I've got to share with you also, speaking of dishwasher. Speaking of dishwashers, we have this dinner club. And it's gotten to the point now where we go to someone's house and do the dinner club and somebody says, oh, we've got it, we got the routine down, just leave. And then we leave. But at one point, we would hang around and I knew that there was somebody in our group that would change the dishes. When I would stack the dishes, she would change it out.
You're talking about in the dishwasher?
In the dishwasher.
I do that.
And
I do that. In fact, that's
are you
number,
one of those people?
That's number 12 in the list of for divorces.
Are you one of those people?
I am. Because you haphazardly put things in the dishwasher. I mean, you put things in the dishwasher. I said, why are you putting a pan in the dishwasher when all you have to do is takes you a minute to wash the pan? Instead, you're taking the spot for 3, 4, 5 other dishes there. You know, it's orderly. It should be orderly. How many people believe that when you load a dishwasher, it should be orderly? You know, you have all the plates going in one direction, and you have the bowls or the salad plates, and then all the utensils have got to be.
Yes, I do that. Absolutely.
The forks are pointed up, the knives are pointed down, the spoons pointed up.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Would that be a deal breaker for some people?
I never asked you about that when we were going through that. If that was going to be a deal breaker. Anyway.
Well, I hope not. If you're that shallow that you have to be like, how do you stack a dishwasher? Deal breaker. I would be like, next.
Okay, be that
That's going to be that way next.
Be that way. Okay, well, let's take a quick break and then let's get on.
Let's talk about the Marine Corps Color Guard. Tomorrow they're going to be coming in, and we're going to get a chance to really get up close and personal and see them today. They're going to join us
tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
And the dignitaries are going over to the rodeo grounds today.
There's a photo op for you know, like the police and the sheriff's office and the city council, border supervisors, Shasta, you know, city of Shasta Lake, Anderson, all of these will be out there to get, you know, photos taken with the Marines. And the Marines who came in on Sunday, they are the last mounted color guard in the United States. And they, as you can probably imagine, they get hundreds of requests every year, hundreds of requests from all over the country every year. And every year they come back to Reading. And this started 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And we got them up here for the first time. And it was a love fest. Back when it was like three chiefs ago. Since then they have, because of the way Reading is and the North State is, Shasta County, Anderson, City of Shasta Lake, they come up here, they enjoy it. Yesterday, the fly shop sent them out for a half day of fly fishing.
I can't wait to hear about that.
Because
many times we've heard
in the
past.
And I want to thank the Michelacks so much.
Absolutely.
You know, because they...
Mike and Bertha.
They sponsored this, and as you know, it's just...
And Terry.
You know, and it's not... It costs money to do that, and they wanted to do this.
Well, they'll be
there. We have other people. Woody's wanted to host them for lunch yesterday. There's just a number of things going on that lets the Marines see the kind of people we have up here.
And our beautiful North State. And, you know, many times what I was going to say was that, you know, many times in the past when I've had the great pleasure, and we've had the great pleasure of meeting these young men and women, is that I'll never forget one guy in particular who was from Long Beach and had never been on a horse, never really had been to the mountains, never really kind of been in streams or things like that, and was like, what? Join the Marines. And when he came up, and first of all, when they join the Marines and they get their, what's it called? Will you get your command or will you get your, when they're...
Eagle, Globe, and Anchor? What?
When you're sent out on your command, what is that? When you're designated someplace after you get through your school.
Okay. Yeah, your MOS, and then you go to your first duty station.
Your first duty station. So let's talk a little bit about that when we get back from the break, because I find this fascinating. And if you're going to the rodeo, which we hope you are, you need to know the story behind what goes on with these Marines when they get this duty. We'll be right back here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Hi, friends. This is RC with Tobacco and Brew.
This month's cigar, the Humidor, is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, using only the finest dark, oily broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. This is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
This is an encore broadcast of Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. This is portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. You know, the stock market is running like a bull coming out of a chute, sideways, up and down, backwards. And if you're the rider on that and you're getting turned sideways, backwards, and upside down, you want somebody there. You want the bullfighter there to help you make it a success. And that's Maxwell Insurance and Financial. You want a second opinion on a retirement plan or a 401? Give Judy a call at 221-0441 for a free review and evaluation. She's been helping people since 1993. She is your bullfighter of choice. Sheriff Mike Johnson is here with us.
Good morning. Good morning.
I have just seen people walk in behind and, you know, here and there. Anyway, good morning.
Good morning. Sorry I'm a little bit late this morning. That's a sidetrack.
Oh, okay. That's why I'm looking, because somebody else walked in.
Well, good morning.
Yes.
All right. So who do we have with us this morning?
This is Adriana. She's with our campaign team.
Adriana, good morning. How are you?
And this is a campaign hour. 40 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, but we can get into other things, too.
Sure.
What happens when, I know it's in the city, but I'm sure it impacts on the sheriff's department when rodeo comes in town.
Oh, man. It impacts in a good way, you know, because we have an influx of really good people coming into our city and our county and spending dollars and enjoying the rodeo and all the events that go on during rodeo week. So it impacts all of law enforcement as far as stepping it up and making sure everybody's secure and safe during this week especially. But what a great week, right? It's a lot of fun. Every day is something different.
Does the we have the corporal nights a few weeks ago, and then now we have the rodeo. Can you compare the crowds? I mean,
yeah, you know,
is it a totally different group, or is it kind of a mixture of the groups?
I'd say it's a little bit of a mixture of groups, but you definitely get a different crowd at the rodeo. And the differences with those two events is, you know, the Cool April Nights is kind of spread out through the county more because of the different show and shines and different places that those cars go and have the shows and the cruises. I mean, of course, the main cruise in Reading is the biggest event there. But again, those crowds are strung out on the different streets and around different areas, whereas Rodeo, it's more, it's compact, right? It's, mm-hmm. it's at the fairgrounds. It's, a little bit of a different crowd, a little bit.
Well, as you know, I'm a member of the, now, Reading Rodeo Association, as you are.
Yes.
But you're a member of everything. I mean, you inherit that.
I inherit
a lot of this.
Yeah, I inherit that, that's for sure.
So I saw, you know, the steak feed, 800 people there, they had the big mutton busting and all that.
Street dance, so chili kickoff, yeah.
Yeah, so when you see that, I would imagine a lot of the same residents may go to this because they enjoy this. But I, you know, rodeo's always had its core group, though, that's different in the sense of they're not so much interested in the cars, but
exactly.
they are interested in rodeo. And I was just, you know, I've been around rodeo a long time, and I was just wondering if there's, Cool Aper Night strikes me as a bunch of people that are technicians and laid back.
Right.
Where rodeo strikes me as I'm wearing a hat. For some people, the first time all year, I'm going to go dancing. I'm going to go to the rodeo, and oh my gosh, there's beer.
And you truly do have your more country population, your agricultural people, your cowboys, and all those people coming together. And it's their time of year to kick up their heels a little and have a little fun and come together. And it is. It's a really good time. It's a good group of people. It's a good week of events, and I enjoy it like you do, Carl. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. Do you put on extra deputies for this?
We have extra deputies.
To help out with the police.
During peak times, yeah, we do. And going to some of these special events, you know, we'll pick up an extra deputy to go to the events just for some extra security as well.
Let's talk a little bit about, we've got 3 minutes before, we have 3 minutes before we have to take a break. And my question would be, it's campaign season. How hard is it while you're campaigning to then stay focused? It's like doing a dual thing. It's almost like you take on a show. And then still have a job.
Right, Linda, you're absolutely right. It is so difficult to, try to run the agency full time and try to keep up with the campaign. I mean, for instance, this last weekend, just Saturday, I went to 6 different events, and those weren't all campaign events. You know, probably 4 of those 6 were work related. So, also, I have to toggle back between this when I'm going to doing something campaign versus the agency head as a sheriff, I'll have to change my out of my uniform and often my vehicle and stuff. So I'm doing campaign strictly stuff. I can't be out flying the patch and representing the agency. So there's also that sometimes I change 2 or 3 times a day just to keep up with that as well. But I could tell you it's exhausting. It's exhausting for the candidates, and you guys know this, for the candidates that aren't running a full-time job.
There hasn't been a candidate that's ever come here that hasn't said, this has been crazy.
It has
totally changed their lives.
Yeah.
On it. Because you've got to be
in shape.
Well, you've got to be in shape for it, but you have to be. You can't have a down day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I've come in here before and done shows that when I finished, I just went, "Boy, nobody got their money's worth today," because you know things just didn't click. But when you're a candidate and you're up there in front of people,
yeah. You are on. Shaky howdy,
and a misword or a misstatement.
Yeah,
comes up on
and it
YouTube.
Gets blows out of horse.
Comes on YouTube.
And you know, you compound that with being in law enforcement. You're in law enforcement. You're vigilant and on all the time, right? Because you're always aware and looking out for people's safety and your own safety. So you add that mental part to the candidacy part, and I'm telling you, it's taxing for sure. Taxing on my wife too and my family. And again, I'm speaking not just for me. I'm sure all the candidates feel that way too. But
I'm pretty sure.
Definitely ready for June 7th.
Families get into this too, and they have to. Anyway, hey, let's take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's among the highest rated hospitals for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They also have been one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, and it's got an A rating for it's the second year in a row. They got an A rating from the Leapfrog organization, which rates hospitals hospitals all over the nation on their on specific criteria and cardiac care, safety, infections. And they got an A rating. This is their second year in a row they've got that. You might want to check with your hospital before you go in there. What kind of rating did you get? We'll be right back. 8:30 in the morning, and it is already 76 degrees, going up to 95 today. And I hope you're getting ready for Extreme Bulls and Barrels tonight.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our summer sessions offer flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings. Plan a cool summer of hot classes by enrolling at Shasta College today. Summer session classes begin June 13th. Achieve more, earn more at shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is an encore broadcast of Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 your AM, your talk radio with Carl Mundabot. Today, Wednesday the 18th, rodeo starts tonight with Extreme Bulls and Barrels. The show starts at 7, but get there early because we have the grand parade that comes on, grand entry comes on, the national anthem. Yeah, we sing the national anthem at the rodeos. Tonight, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue. Great place to get your haircut. A veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments only, so you give them a call at 244-9478. Man's Last Stronghold. They did tell me, though, had a slight argument. Went in to get my haircut this weekend. Logan said, you got to take the cowboy hat off. Okay. So, otherwise, you could have just cut around the cowboy hat.
New mini do a bowl cut.
I would have had the Carl Bott rodeo cut. Okay, we're here with Sheriff Mike Johnson. Okay, we talked about extra things that are going on during the rodeo. Let's get back into running for sheriff.
Okay.
You were appointed as sheriff.
Yep, in August 2021.
Okay, so we're quickly approaching the year here. What have you done, Mike, that you're proud of?
Oh gosh, we've done a lot of things. So, first and foremost is what I'm most proud of is earning the respect and the trust of the people I work with. You know, I spent the first few months, probably a total of 3 months of having individual employee meetings, one-on-one. So, there are over 200 employees for the full-time employees for the sheriff's office. And I hardly knew anybody other than the professional relationships of the badges that I worked with while I was chief of Anderson. So getting to know all the support staff, the volunteers, the deputies, the command staff, the administrative assistants, all that. So I scheduled one-on-one meetings. And after I got through all that, I was able to identify some of the strengths and weaknesses in the organization through the employees' eyes, as they had told me in these meetings. And so then we made a list of those, the common ones, and prioritized things we were going to go after as far as improving the agency, and then all the positives, we build on those as strengths for the agency. So over time, what has happened is the command staff and I have developed this really good working relationship and a shared vision of where we want to go and what the agency's about, how we want to reconnect with the community. So that then, now the communication has improved tenfold with between staff and between line level deputies, and we're communicating with that. They have buy-in. Everybody feels like it's a unified organization again, and we're reconnecting with the community. And that has led to the Deputy Sheriff's Association unanimously endorsing me, the Sheriff's Administration Association unanimously endorsing me. I just got a call last night from the Reading Police Managers Association. They endorsed me. So all those relationships are coming together, district attorney, the marshals, APD, everybody's coming together and getting on board, excuse me, and moving in the direction in the best interest of the community again. Super proud of that. Now, on top of that, there's been a whole bunch of other things that we've done as well. We've added a couple of dogs. I think we talked a little bit about we've got the only dog on the North State that knows how to locate hard drives and computers. Did we talk about that at all?
You may have mentioned that last time. It can actually find a hard drive.
Right, and we use that because of the sexual predators and the child porn people.
Because they have it hidden.
They hide it all the time. So when we go serve a search warrant, we can't find it half the time because they've hid it in the walls or the floors or something. This dog can, just like a drug-sniffing dog, it sniffs out the hard drives. And, those equal big 30-plus-year sentences.
Mm.
When we get them. So incredible that we've got that dog now. We've signed a mutual agreement between our allied law enforcement agencies for officer-involved shootings and critical incident investigations. Whereas before we were working together, but now we've created a team concept where each agency dedicates a couple people that are on this team for at least 2 to 3 years. So That creates some consistency, a higher level of training for the folks involved in these incidents, and we get better employees in the long run out of it because they have some specialty training. So we've done that as well. We've working on getting allied agencies together for a boating safety unit and getting some help with that. It's just there's been thing after thing we've been getting done. I'm very proud of it. CCWs, Carl. Yeah, we Linda, we've talked about this. Finally, we've got those renewals down to you can turn around a renewal in 2 days. If you did all your paperwork on Thursday, turned it in, got everything you're supposed to get in, you could walk in on Friday between 1 and 4. We'll do it right over the counter for you.
You do it during the week also or just Fridays?
Well, Fridays from 1 to 4 is optimum. That's the time we've set aside and pull in extra gals in the front lobby to help process the paperwork. Now, we will do it any day of the week if you can't make it on a Friday from 1 to 4 because I don't want to inconvenience anybody with this. And you, as you know, this was a hurdle for me because I inherited that Permitium system, and we were way behind when I walked in on that. But after some opening it up for some weekends and working out the bugs, we've got that process really streamlined.
So if you're getting your CCW for a renewal, you put your paperwork into print, and I can tell you I did it. And if I can do it, most people can do it. But if you don't have a computer and you're not, you know, you don't feel comfortable with that, you can come in and somebody's going to be there to help you.
Yeah, and that's there's two ways. You can actually call in and we'll get one of the CCW people on the phone and walk you through it. If you don't have a computer and you're struggling with finding help for it, yeah, just come in. We'll work it out okay. For you either way.
You started off when you came in and you went after illegal marijuana grows.
Right.
And that seems like it slowed down. It just seems like it has. You may tell me it didn't, but
yeah, it slowed down for just a short period, which was probably a month, and that was just because of my sergeant that I had attached to it, who was primarily tasked with coordinating it all. Broke his arm, and he's been out on surgery and injury with that. And so then we had to identify a new guy and put in. So we had a little delay. But all in all, Carl, 2 weeks in after being appointed, I started this, and we as an agency have been at it full bore. We have a total of 47 operations under our belt since I was appointed, over 40,000 plants eradicated. Hundreds of pounds of marijuana seized. We've seized numerous firearms. We've got arrests. We've been doing really good with this. And this is also, you know, I know I'm harping on the allied agency thing, but this is how we get stuff done. It's a cooperation between the agencies. It's shared resources. Fish and Wildlife, is are definitely our most experienced and best partner in this because they do a lot of it. And so sometimes we lead the operations. Sometimes they lead the operations. Sometimes our drug task force leads the operations.
Okay, we're here with Sheriff Mike Johnson. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Saturday, is your tobacco store of choice. Any of your tobacco needs, any of the accessories, they have the finest walk-in humidor in Northern California by far. You can find a great selection of cigars there, plus anything else that you want to do for your tobacco needs. Tobacco and Brew. We'll be right back.
This is an encore broadcast of Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. Today is the 18th. It's Wednesday. Rodeo starts tonight with Extreme Bulls and Barrels. It's 77 degrees out there. It's going to be about 95 today. And our guest today is Sheriff Mike Johnson. This is his candidate appearance as opposed to just being a sheriff. It's hard to, you know, to pull him out on that. Now, jail. Everybody that comes through here, everybody agrees on one thing.
We need more bed space.
We need a jail, a new jail. Yeah. We need 1,000 spaces in this county. Yep. Everybody agrees on it. Yet it's been years, and we still can't seem to do that. What's your plan to help push this through?
Yeah, so, Carl, I initially started out by proposing, a new jail campus or facility, if you will, and that proposal included the partnership with different facets. In other words, it has a mental health aspect, drug addiction aspect, work release, mm-hmm. education, and all that. And I still think that long term, this community absolutely needs that. And since that proposal, I've had a lot of feedback. I've had people call me, come by the office, email me, talk to me out at different events, and it seems very clear that we need to go after this kind of a two-prong approach. One is immediately we need some jail bed spaces, more jail bed spaces, low-level offender type of spaces. And while we're doing that, we can work on a long-term plan of a new facility with a lot of beds and encompass all those things that we talked about. I think the long-term plan is the bigger works more towards a solution for the community. The short-term plan will at least allow us to make the community safer and hold some of the people that we're turning out on the street. So here's one of the things, examples I use, Carl, for people to try to understand the dynamics of more bed space and a jail. Let's say, these are just arbitrary numbers, not real numbers, okay? For argument's sake, we have 500 people in this county who account for 90 to 95% of the calls for service and the resources. In other words, they're creating the police responding, fire, and often EMS to these calls. And they're the revolving door people that are going in and out of jail. So now let's say magically tomorrow I have 1,000 bed spaces all of a sudden available. That does not mean that those 500 people now are going to be magically pulled off the street and held in jail just because I have the bed space. Because there is California jail bail reform. There's the decriminalization of all these laws. So I can't by law just hold them in jail when they're booked in jail. Plus they need to go through sentencing. So you also look at that population of people, and at least 50% of them have mental health and drug issues. So the mental health facility versus a jail are two different things. The jail is not set up to be a mental health facility. However, we're being tasked, it's being pushed on us to deal with the mental health population. So there's another dynamic that creates an issue for us. Now, there are several in that population who shouldn't be on the street and who are higher level offenders and who absolutely need incarceration, and that's all they know, and they're not going to go with the program. So we need the bed spaces for those.
So say you can get 200 people off the street.
Yeah. Well, that's a win for us. Absolutely.
Well, that then cuts, because your numbers of 500 is what Bill Shuler says. That's what he thinks.
Yeah, well, it's somewhere around there.
Yeah, somewhere around that number. Okay, so the funding. You know, I'm hearing different things from funding from the Board of Supervisors. You know, they'd love to do this, but they can't do this,
right?
And they can't use all of that. So we need a jail. Do you think it's going to take a bond issue? Or do you think it's going to be, obviously the taxing's not going to work?
Yeah, I don't know. Carl, I don't know what it's going to take as far as that goes. I mean, I'm going to be part of helping with that solution, but the funding solution is going to be more come on the county administration office and the Board of Supervisors to figure that out. I'll work with them with it. I know yesterday at the Board of Supervisors, they set aside $25 million of that ARPA money for the jail, to go towards the jail. We had already set aside $12 million last year, a year and a half ago, the Board of Supervisors and Administration did, to start the project and get the coffers going for
this. Close to $40 million. You would think we'd be able to break ground.
Exactly. So,
or at least do the study.
So exactly. And that's what we need to get to start working on. And like I said, it's got to be twofold, right? Because we need beds now, but we need a solution for the long term. So we have to start weighing our options and what we're going to do. And speaking of that, I'd like to talk about that a little bit, because we have the courthouse that's going to move mm-hmm. across the street. So departments 1 and 2 that are actually physically attached to the jail are key, because we move prisoners through that jail into Department 1 or 2 for courtroom proceedings right now. And we do it through panels and buzz them through doors and secured hallways to get them in there. So it doesn't take staff to move them around. So now we have a problem of the court moving across the street, and the court rooms will be across the street. So now we don't have a way to move those prisoners the same way we did. We'll have to actually physically transport those prisoners. And no matter what you think, it's not as easy as just walking them across the street. We actually have to transport them. So Department 1 was going to be, or 2, I'm not sure which one we're going to do that with yet, is going to be set up so we can still buzz those prisoners through those secure hallways, get them into one of those departments, load them up in the vans, the transport units, and drive them through. So we can't use Department 1 for more beds. That's going to be a transportation port. Department number 2, what we would like to do, and the talks are underway, is make it into a video arraignment courthouse, or courtroom, if you will, or area, if you will. If we could start doing video arraignments, that would cut down probably 50% or better of the transports that we actually have to do over to the new courthouse. A lot of counties, a lot of states have done video arraignment, especially since the inception of COVID. It's been the new way to appear in court. Judges video. They're in a secured room with their attorney, and everything's done via kind of FaceTime, if you will, that sort of setup. So those two facilities are kind of earmarked for that as we move forward. Now we have to look at other empty spaces like the courthouse when it vacates. What's it going to cost? Could we convert some of that to jail bed spacing? We have the Breslauer campus where we run our South County patrol out of. We have a new building we'll be moving into sometime within a year or two. So that's an option. We can look at it as well. We have some other vacant buildings that we'll have to look at. Another option, Carl, that hasn't you probably haven't heard and come up is I'd really like to see one of these vacant buildings be converted into a mental health facility run by a nonprofit or by HHSA and be a secure building for mental health.